Today is a day of preparation. That's the title. Now I want us to turn to Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. For years I've been reading this scripture from way, way back about the Psalm 118 verse 24, which says, "This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So this day and every day that we get up in the morning, God has made that day. I think I read it in one of the Psalms this morning even. So God gives us a 24-hour period to prepare us so we can get in preparation mode, so we can get our handle on our lives, and we can say, what do we have to do now before the Feast of Tabernacles, starting with the Feast of Trumpets? What do we have to think like? Where is our mind going? So he gives us this period of time, a day, 24 hours, in the Hebrew it means dusk to dusk, that we have a chance to prepare ourselves for these, not only the fall holy days, but for the days ahead in the church and for the world in general. And there is a sense of urgency in the Bible. I'll only read you one scripture in my introduction. There is a sense of urgency that we are to pick up on it now, not wait, and not take advantage of these days, because they do go by fast. In Romans chapter 13, it would be the second scripture, and verse 11 in my introduction before I get into the body. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 through 14. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. The sense of urgency of time-wise that we don't have the time that we think we have. And do this, he says in verse 11, knowing that the time is high, it is high time to wake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I took that to mean when he says we should rejoice and be glad in it, we're one day closer to our salvation. The night is far spent, in verse 12. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. That isn't done overnight. That isn't a one-day affair. And let us put on the armor of light. In verse 13, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That is an ongoing, daily, 24-hour period of time where we do that. Now is the day of salvation. All right? So we see our responsibility. We see the urgency that goes along with that. So what do we have to do? How do we fulfill a responsibility like that? How do we do that? I have 3 points. Number one is this. Number one is this. This is critical for young and old. Very critical that we pick up on this and live our lives accordingly. Point number one, live your life as if Christ were returning tomorrow. Live your life as if Christ was returning tomorrow. Now we're going to be keeping the Feast of Trumpets. That's just showing that that's going to happen. But if we live our lives every day as if Christ was going to show up tomorrow in our lives, are we ready? Are we really ready to meet Christ in the air, if that be the case? That is the question when we think about living our life as if Christ was returning tomorrow. The problem with human beings is they put the, like Jim was talking about, our human nature puts this physical sense on it. I think Corey and I talked about this the other day. We're living our life as if Christ is going to return tomorrow. The reason being we have to do that, brethren, and this is very, very, very critical. In Matthew 24, verse 36, and it said, and also in Matthew 25, at the end where it says, "You do not know." In Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour," so he breaks it down to an hour. You can see the urgency there. I want to keep pounding away at that word urgency. There is an urgency for us not only to prepare for the holy days in the kingdom of God, but we are here for one reason, and that's to prepare. But we don't know that day or hour. No one knows. He continues on. "Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know, till the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one may be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." So what I'm saying is to live your life and my life as if he was coming tomorrow. Then we're prepared ahead of time, because we do not know the hour. In James 4 and verse 13, it shows the uncertainty of our lives on this earth. The uncertainty of life in James 4, verse 13 through 15. James 4 and verse 13. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." No wonder Christ says, don't worry about tomorrow, because we will not know what will happen tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that." So I put in my notes here, we must take advantage of this day and every day to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. Take advantage of this time that God gives us. He says, this is the day the Lord has made. We take advantage of that every single day of our life to prepare ourselves. John chapter 7, what I'm going to cover here now is, we do not know as human beings when the Christ will return, but God knows and Christ knows, and that's all through the book of John, 3-4 places, but I'll read one scripture here. Jesus said to them in John 7, verse 6, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." So we should be ready all the time for the return of Christ. Make an urgency in our lives to say, what do I have to do to clean up my life, to be ready for the return of Christ? Because that's our goal, that's what we're to be doing. Verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of that its works are evil. You go up into this feast, I am not yet going to this feast, for my time has not fully come." Jesus Christ knew his time on earth was going to end. We do not know that, brethren. We cannot fathom that our life could end tomorrow in an accident or some other type of problem that would arise in our lives. We do not know, but Christ did. He knew at what time his physical life would end. There's one thing about Christ that's different from us. He was always moving towards that time, because he knew when he reached that time, he had to be in spiritual condition to face the world he was going to face. He was always moving toward that goal that he was after. No wonder in Matthew 6:33, you can turn there if you want. I'll just read it. My notes: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. No wonder we have to hear that, brethren. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that above everything. That prepares us for the days ahead. That prepares us for the return of Christ. And also sets up the holy days for us, where we go through trumpets, atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. I put in my notes here, we do not have a lot of time to comprehend what God requires of us to be in his kingdom. We can't comprehend that. What I'm doing up here today is to say we should grab a hold of it and comprehend that the only way we're going to be in God's kingdom is if we prepare ahead of time. If we're ready when Christ comes back. So that's point number one. Live your life as if Christ was coming back tomorrow. Point number two, another good point. This is an excellent point. Be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. Be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. It's critical that we do and we understand that. Lethargy means over time that our love for the truth kind of wanes and drops off a little. Beware of that. Beware of spiritual lethargy. If we can get to the point where Sabbath doesn't mean that much, you know, we don't have to do this on the, we don't have to dress right on the Sabbath, we don't have to do this. Well, it's the same old stuff. Matthew 6:33, same thing every week, pretty tree. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. I actually looked at that scripture and said, should I put it in my notes? And I said, well, it's in the Bible. It's going to go in my notes. Because it says, seek first the kingdom of God. In order not to become lethargic and back off in our spiritual behavior, be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. I say that because that's a proclivity of the nation of Israel, and it's the same for spiritual Israel, which we are in the church. Be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We're not play-acting here, brethren. We're not here just going through the motions of the holy days. We're here to keep something that is going to go on forever and ever. We should, with all our might, put that in our mind and realize that we're under the grace of God, and only by the grace of God go I, or you, or any of us, the rest of us, be on the alert for that type of thinking. Do not use the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is its accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. If we were to look at every day we get up, like I got up this morning, put my feet on the floor, and I said, thank you, Father, for this day. And I pray to God, Jesus, keep me from the evil one. Put a hold on him for today. Just a short prayer, 10, 15 seconds, and realize that this is our day of salvation. Now in Romans 8, it talks about the rest of the world will have their turn, but not us. This is a day of salvation. Look at every day as a day of salvation. Look at it as something that we cannot just take for granted, and especially along with the grown-ups, the young people, the same way. You're here every week, you hear these sermons, you're responsible for what you hear. So you have to put that in your mind and say, he's saying, this is my day of salvation. And all it's going to do is prepare us for the days ahead. Hebrews 3, verse 7 through 11. I really feel deeply about this subject, really deeply, as you do, and as you can probably tell I do, because of the fact that when you get older, you know your time is limited. I don't say that to be the man that comes up here and tells you all the horror stories about getting older or any such thing. But I do say that I have more urgency now. And what I'm trying to get across to you is that you take on some of the urgency that I have and feel this way. Jim gave a good sermonette in Jeremiah. I thought that was a good sermonette. We have to have the feeling that we're in something big. This is not small potatoes, like the old saying goes. We're in something that is far above our reach, far above. Remember I mentioned in point number one, we don't have the time to figure out what we have to do and how far we have to go so we can be in the kingdom of God. The holy days are just going to help us move along. But they don't save us. The holy days don't save us. Keeping the Sabbath doesn't save us. It's what we do on a daily basis. You might think that's an odd thing to say, but I don't. It's not going to save us. We're in it for the long haul. This is something big. Starting with Monday at the Feast of Trumpets, we're going to hear the sermons and sermonettes. I hope we sit up and pay attention and look to this as something that we can lay hold on. If we prepare ahead of time, if we get our minds going in that direction, we won't have a problem. No, we're going to fight these battles that goes on in the world, that rotten, evil world out there. We're going to keep fighting them. We're going to still have our weaknesses. But I will absolutely guarantee you it will be easier to take care of our weaknesses if we prepare ahead of time. If we prepare ourselves spiritually, be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. Be on the alert for it. You can tell. I mean, if I was to ask, go out after church and ask somebody, how many times you read the Bible this week? Well, let's see. I got to think about that. Now you want this guy to come up and accuse him of doing something wrong. I would never do that. But I can tell. I can tell when I'm getting lethargic. I don't pick my Bible up. I don't pick my Kindle up and go out on the deck and read my Kindle and open up the Bible. I don't go to the YMCA and lay it up there in a machine and open to the Bible and sit there and flick through the pages. I can tell. I can honestly feel it. What I'm encouraging you to do is begin to feel it. The lesser you can slip in and take advantage of it. Because once it does, it's hard to get out of it. If you don't study your Bible for 2 weeks, it's a little harder to get back into it. And you don't have to tell me, I know, because I've gone through it. Just let that world take a hold of you for a while. Everybody in this audience, let it get a hold of your frame of mind. Let it get a hold of you to the point where you get too busy. You don't have time to study your Bible. Nobody says we have to come to church at the door when you walk in. The greeter says, well, I want you to quote the Ten Commandments before you get in the door. That's not going to happen. And that doesn't even cut it. It's what we are inside. It's what we see, feel in here, in our hearts. Like Jim was talking about in the sermonette. Our hearts are deceitful. We live in an evil world. Our hearts are very deceitful. Be on the alert for spiritual lethargy. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, I should say. Verse 7. Today, notice the words today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. I was angry with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Man has always done that. Businesses do that. Corporations do that. The help gets lethargic. They don't have their act in there. They aren't giving their input. They're laying back. They're not doing their job. It's called lethargy. But spiritually, it is very, very dangerous. Man has always had that proclivity. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual drink, all ate the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That's what we're doing. We do that, brethren, our generation in the church. Our generation, we have done that. We have walked the walk. We have talked the talk. I was thinking on the way to church, how many things have gone on since we've been in the church? If it wasn't God's church, I would have been long gone. But these examples were there. And I had a man up in front of me preaching. He preached stronger than I did. And he'd tell it. He'd tell us. We're all doing the same thing. Verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. Everything that's in the world will lead you to lethargy. Everything that I have run across, I should restate that. Most of the things you run across in life will lead you to say, well, if I get up here, I don't have to go any further. I've worked hard. I've got up there talking spiritual now. I drank the same spiritual drink they did. My rock has been Jesus Christ, same as theirs. Don't kid yourself. No, I shouldn't put it that way. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. That they did the same thing that we did and are doing now, and yet, out of 150,000 people, there's probably 10 attending churches. Where did the rest go? Where did they go, brethren? I know where they went. Out the door. They're not here. How much of that was lethargy and other things? I do not know. I'm not judging them. I'm asking. Where did they go? Spiritual lethargy. Strong point. Strong point. Spiritual lethargy. That's point number two. Number three is this. And this is kind of basic, but yet again, it's not. Point number three. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Point number three. Matthew 15 and verse 17. Matthew 15 and verse 17. Matthew 15, verse 17. Oh, that tastes good. Chunk of ice in my mouth. Matthew 15, verse 17. Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? They were talking about food here that they didn't want to eat. They thought it was wrong to eat. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. They come from the heart. What proceeds out of the mouth. Okay? And they defile a man. They defile a man. I want to stress that. That these things defile us. Years ago, I made a study in Matthew 15 about that word defile. It means something that is stained. Something that's stained. Our character has been stained. We're defiled, brethren, by this world around us. My point is, keep yourself unspotted from the world around us because of that one word, defile. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Here's why. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things which defile our character. These are the things that put a stain on our character. In the sight of God, they put a stain on our character. These are the things that we be unspotted, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but he with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now we are to look at these things and discern day by day, young and old, older, young and old, we have to discern these things. Is that adultery? Is that something that is wrong? Is that going to stain my character? Is that going to make me feel that I have a blotch on me somewhere? Something breaking out on me that I've been stained by this evil world. Say that for the third time. This is an evil, evil society. But it doesn't say that we cannot live in it. It does not say that in the Bible. Jesus said in John 17, I pray for them who are in the world. So we're going to be in this world, but let's put up a good fight. Let's not be lethargic. Let's frame our life around Christ coming back. Let's do that. Let's put our heels on the ground and dig in and say to ourselves, where did that 100,000 people go? What happened to those people? Is it going to happen to me? Is it going to happen to you? I don't know. Maybe it will before the end comes. We don't want to just preach the end. We just don't want to preach a doomsday message. I am completely out of that, preaching a doomsday message. I do not get into that. I do not get into that. I want to take care of myself, and I hope you do too. Take care of yourself spiritually. So when that day comes, you'll say, here I am. Or what would God say? Like it says in Luke, go away, I never knew you. I wouldn't want to hear that from the creator of the universe. I would not want to hear that. I never knew you. It says that twice in Luke 17. I think it's Luke 17. We must discern what is it that stains my character in the sight of God. Forget about your wife. Forget about... No, I put that wrong. Don't forget about your wife. But think about God. What does he think about it? What does God think about what we're doing? Does he think it's wrong to do this or do that? We can only look in the Bible and spend X number of hours in the Bible. And I think sometimes that's why we don't read the Bible as much as we should. Because the Bible is going to straighten us out. Anytime I pick up the Bible, this morning I was reading in the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, verse 5, it says, God, I'm going to commit my spirit to you. David said that in the Psalm. For you have redeemed me. He said, I'm going to commit my spirit. I thought to myself, oh, wait a minute, you mean that God expects us to do that? To commit our minds and our body and our thinking, he does absolutely declare that's what he wants. So I'm not speaking out of school. We must discern. And that stain is going to stay there until we do something about it, spiritually. It'll stay there. The only thing is, it's like eczema. It gets worse and worse. It spreads. I'm reading, I mentioned eczema. My little grandson has eczema. It's not a pleasant thing. It's pretty common. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Let's keep going down this road and really get to the nuts and bolts of why we're keeping the holy days and what we're doing here. In 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world. Why should God have to tell us not to love the world, brethren? Why should he have to put that in the Bible? Do not love the world. You better not love the world. We're in big trouble if we do. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The things in the world. Connected right with it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, I wouldn't want those things to be said about me. You didn't love God enough. You love the world. You love the world, the glitz and the glamour, the big cigars and motor cars. You loved all of that. But the love of God wasn't in you. I wouldn't want God to say that to me. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Plain English language. It is not of the world. So when I say to come out of that world and not be a part of it, the Bible backs it up. In verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. What positive things come out of the Bible? What positive things come out? What uplifting good things come from the Bible. I was reading this morning. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Oh, and this one thing you can be confident. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then when I got to the other one, he says, God, I'm going to commit my spirit to you. In other words, David was saying that he was going to commit everything to him. Because in the previous verses, before that, he talks about trusting in God. Trusting in God. Am I done with that? I put here, love of the world defiles us, stains our character. Do you believe that? The world pollutes. It contaminates. It soils our relationship with God. It soils our relationship with God. It contaminates our spirit. That's when I read that this morning, what just kind of threw me back. I had to go back and read it. David said, I'll commit my spirit to you. Whatever you want, whatever I'm doing wrong, I don't want to contaminate myself and soil my relationship with God. This is big stuff, brethren, as you well know. Year by year, day by day, becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. We are not in this just to go to the feast. We are there to go to the feast and come back to the feast and stand up there, I don't want to say raving like I'm raving, but a little, but be enthusiastic, be zealous. That's our goal. We want to come back. We want to go through the holy days and be zealous for God's word. We want to be zealous. We want to say, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear all that other trash about, oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. Try this. Try that. Drink this or drink that. That'll solve your problems. What a bunch of hooey. Hogwash. We're in it for the long haul. All of us sitting right here today are going to go to the feast, and we're going to sit there for 7 days, 8 days, and we're going to listen. and hopefully none of our heads will bob. None of our heads will bob. We'll sit there and we want to know, the young people. I'm not picking on you at all. But you're sitting there, you're taking in words that you're held responsible, like I mentioned earlier. But I'm not picking on you. We're held responsible for what we hear and what we see and what we do. So when I say be unspotted from the world, that's exactly what I mean. It contaminates our relationship with God. In James 1 and verse 28, there's one scripture left. I'm running out of steam. No, I'm not. I'm just getting going. I actually feel real good. James 1 and verse 28. James chapter 1 and verse 28. Pure. Oh, pure and undefiled. We read this scripture all the time, brethren. We leave out the word pure. It's not dirty. It's not contaminated. It's pure religion. Pure religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows. I've used that 100 times in sermons, probably. In their trouble. And, he says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's a commandment that we need to put in our mind. Do not contaminate your relationship with God because of our idiosyncrasies or whatever we want to think about things in this life. Purpose of the holy days is to help remove that strain, that stain. That's the purpose of the holy days. We have to fit that into our mind and say, yes, that's what I want to learn. I want to learn about the Feast of Trumpets. I want to learn more about the Feast of Trumpets. I don't want to just go to church and sit there and do nothing. I want to learn. Boy, I hope when we come back, I hope I get a chance to speak them and see how zealous I am. But you'll notice one clear thing about me. I am zealous for the Scriptures. I don't keep them perfectly, but I truly am zealous for the Scriptures. When I read something like I read this morning, it brings tears to my eyes. Somebody would say that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be confident. Another one was, be of good courage. Just boom, right down the line, three different psalms. Be of good courage. That's what we want to put in our mind. Don't contaminate it with the world. Pollute it with the world around us. Keep unspotted from the world. Last scripture. No, I have one more, but how's our time doing? I might read that one too, but one of the last, Psalm 19, verse 9 through 14. Psalm 19, verse 9 through 14. Psalm 19 and verse 9 through 14. Verse 9. Notice the words in here now. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's not contaminated. Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and they're righteous altogether. Oh my, do we want to hear any more? It says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than fine gold, sweeter than also than honey in the honeycomb. Well, who can understand his errors? Look at the words. Cleanse me. Get rid of the contamination in my mind. I've been bombarded all week with that rotten world out there, with all the evil that's out there. Cleanse me from secret faults. It's up to God to do that. It's the only way we can do that. We have to be cleansed, brethren, before the kingdom of God comes and we're there. Did you ever think about that? We're not going to wander in there with our garments all soiled or unclean. He said, no. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Look at the word presume. Presume, we presume, well, that's not so bad. If you think that way, it is bad. Don't go there. You presume something is right. You presume maybe it isn't so bad. Don't go there. Don't let that world out there stain your character or stain your relationship with God. Big stuff. 13 scriptures with a lot of power in them. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Stains of sin must be dealt with and removed before we are in God's kingdom. That's going to take being prepared every single day that we get up in the morning. If we want to pray to God, we want to ask God to lead me and keep Satan away from me. Keep me away from this evil world. That's what we want to feel like. Be of good courage, he said. I'll never leave you or forsake you. We have to put those things in our mind and keep them there. Because that's what the Bible teaches. It teaches positive attitudes. He says, sin must be dealt with and removed before we are in God's kingdom. I will read this last scripture in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 through 16. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 through 16. By one of my favorite scriptures. He says, but you, in verse 11, O man, or woman, or child of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I hope when we come back from the feast that we have laid hold on eternal life. Every single one of us sitting here, that we've laid hold on it. We're serious about it. We want to be unspotted from that world. We want to wait for Christ in proper attire. Serious business. Serious business. The holy days. Big time. Big time. Big time business. I hope we take it like that. To which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we only have so much time to do what I've been saying here. We don't have a lot of time. When you're young, you think you have a lot of time. When you get a little older, and it isn't because I'm getting older. It isn't that at all. I am dedicated, serious about what I'm saying. I know where this world is going, and I know where I'm going. I'm going to be in God's kingdom. So when you come back, prayerfully, I hope I'll be there, I pray that you'll be filled with so much zeal, young or old or in between, that we will have so much zeal in us that we won't stop. They won't let a day go by. This is a day the Lord has made. You rejoice and be glad in it. I hope a day doesn't go by when we don't pull up our Bible and open to the Psalms or open to the Proverbs or open to the book of Matthew and get something out of it. So you're not going to get anything from the world out there. Nobody is. They can't tell me that. I've lived too long in the world. So we only have so much time. Let's use it properly. Have a good holy day.